Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Now, I want to let you know we're waiting for Nianelle's phone call. She's going to be calling in from South Africa. And the station has been experiencing some unusual equipment problems. So we are going to just keep the faith, know that she's going to be able to get through, and we're going to be able to chat with this very talented lady who is just such a joy to be able to, one, learn about, and two, to find out about the story of her life. So we are waiting for that right now. Meanwhile, what I'm going to do in the interim is start off with a thought. And I think that one of the things that I'd like to chat about this morning is a quote by a man named Addison. He said, "It's folly for an eminent person to think of escaping censure and a weakness to be affected by it. All the illustrious persons of antiquity and indeed of every age have passed through this fiery persecution. There is no defense against reproach but obscurity." And it's a kind of commentant to greatness. You know, I think so many times, boy, I can relate to that. Have you ever been in a situation where you were going to do something and you thought you were really doing a good job, and then someone comes up to you and rips you up one side and down the other and just tells you how terrible you are, and they go on and on and on. And if you've ever been around people like that, oh, I mean, it can be so hurtful. It can be so hurtful that it literally rips your guts out, and you just think, oh, I'm just so unworthy. All of us will go through that at one time or another. But Addison's comment about anyone who is not open to criticism, then they're really going to have a big problem. And you can close down, and goodness knows, I can remember when I was younger, I would do that. I would just think, well, I'm just not worthy. If I've been criticized, then that's not a good thing. And it took me quite a few years to do a switch, that when someone criticizes and makes a comment, that it's okay. They have a right to that opinion. I would not allow myself to be subjected to someone being totally obnoxious. That took me a while, because I had been raised with the attitude that everybody knew a lot more than me and that I was just this little puny thing of a human being. Sound familiar to any of you? Well, I want you to be aware of something. Part of growing up into being an adult is recognizing you make your choices. And when you are criticized, sometimes the criticism is justified. If you can stand back from a criticism and really look at it and go, you know what, they might have had a point. Maybe I should have used purple instead of puce green, or whatever. Now, I know that's sort of a silly example, but the reason I share that with you is there comes a point when we need to understand that criticism can work for us, not against us. Criticism often is executed by individuals. They have one of two purposes. One, they want you to be better than what you are at that moment, and they're sharing their knowledge and their expertise. Or two, maybe you're so good that they really want to put you down because they feel that you're going to steal their thunder. That's a term that was used in show business and still is. Don't steal my thunder. Well, you don't need to worry about that. When you reach a point of understanding, one, that you never are ever going to be perfect, you can sit back and relax a little bit. in the sense that you always want to strive to do your very best, to be your very best. That is a given. But all of us are going to have days when we're not going to be performing as well as others, and it's not good and it's not bad. But when we can work with criticism constructively, if someone comes up and says to you, as it happened to me many years ago, and I was young, and I can remember that I'd see all of these things about makeup, and oh my goodness, the green eyeshadow and the blue eyeshadow and all of this stuff, and you still see it today. I will never forget, there was a colleague that I was working with. I was working at Frito-Lay in Westchester, California, and I was a receptionist, and I always was very particular about how I dressed because I realized that my image reflected on the company. Well, I'd had one of those days where I was going to have my eye makeup match my outfit, which happened to be green. And I had this green eyeshadow on, and I was very careful about how I put it on. After all, I copied the people in the magazine. And by the time I finished, boy, I was fully color coordinated. I will never, ever forget this very, very nice man that came by, and he looked at me, and apparently I had put it on a little thick. Have you ever done anything like that, gals? Well, I must have really been green-eyed. And it's supposed to go well with brown eyes, which mine are brown. Anyway, he said, you know what? You have such nice brown eyes. It's really not as complimentary to you, the green. He was so gracious in the way he said it. And I thought, uh-oh, I've got on too much. So it was a lesson learned, but he was very thoughtful about how he made his comment and that I didn't need to have it. And I wasn't really wearing any other makeup to speak of, but it was the drama of the eyes, and we see so much stuff, even today, about that. And it taught me a lesson, and it made me aware of how I wanted to be seen and how I wanted to present myself. But I just share that silly little example with you because criticism can come in all kinds of ways. And sometimes we need to listen with an alertness. And my goodness, criticism about things in my life probably would go around the world a few thousand times. So don't ever feel badly when you are criticized. But think about it. Use it as leverage. Use criticism as a leverage to empower you. How can you come to understand something even better? If, like me, and I use that silly example of makeup, if you discover you're overdoing it, it just really isn't you, then you go, all right, let me find out more about who I really am. So criticism is not something we need to be afraid of. And when I hear all of this political rhetoric that's tossed around like bags of outdated candy, I listen to it and I think nobody's paying attention and nobody's really listening. It's just a lot of talk. Nothing's changing. But we can be a lot smarter than the average, whatever. We can be aware and we can take that criticism and use it to improve ourselves, make our world a better place. Criticism is not something that needs to break you. Criticism is something that if you use it, you decide what's right for you. And what isn't. And you know what? That's wonderful. When you learn to think for yourself, then you're going to be way, way ahead of the game. Well, Nia Nell, it looks like she is not going to be able to get through. And if she does, then we're definitely going to be in touch and have her on the show. But I'm concerned with some of the things that are going on with the technology, that there may be a delay. So we'll just wait and see if she comes through. Meanwhile, we are going to open up the telephone lines, and if you would like to chat with me today, you can call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I have some wonderful things that I want to share with you today, and I, in my haste, of getting some things ready, have put it in the wrong slot, but we are getting there. The holiday season is upon us, and I just love this time of the year. I love walking around my neighborhood. I just enjoy the creativity of people. I laugh at the eyes of children when I see them getting great big and round when they see things that they haven't seen before. It's just magical. And here in Seattle, the stores put on such a wonderful display. Downtown Seattle is made for walking. And it reminds me of San Francisco and New York. I mean, you can walk up one block and down the other, and you have all of this wonderful feel. Music is playing, the lights are blazing, and it's just really exciting. And one of the favorite flowers, obviously, for the season are poinsettias, and they are absolutely gorgeous. And in today's world, they come in different colors, but the red ones obviously are a favorite. But there is a poem by Lillian Watford that describes poinsettias in a wonderful way. She says, "Poinsettias in an array of colors, gerberas in pink and gold and white, the sweet scent of cyclamen, December's centerpiece." You know, one of the things that I think brings a magic into the house is if you are in an area like I'm in, where you have a lot of evergreens and you have pine trees, and so you can go and you can cut boughs. And my husband, when we used to have a forest across the street from us, we'd go over and collect boughs and he'd make wreaths. And the fragrance of the pine just filled the house through the entire holiday season. And that's something that you can bring in. Now, if you're not in an area where that is easily available to you, the fresh scent of greens from the outside, then you can always use a candle or whatever. But there is really, really, really a wonderful, wonderful magic. It's, the smell of pine is just, it's just really very soothing, very, very comfortable. And in my mind, it's refreshing. Now, take it easy during the season. You don't want to be rushing, rushing, rushing where you can't enjoy yourself. So mindfulness is really important, where you can really enjoy this season the way it should be enjoyed. When you're outside, take a deep breath. Ask yourself, what smells am I smelling? Because before winter comes in, there is this fragrance that permeates the air that I think is wonderful. Sometimes it's from local bakeries, and you'll smell ginger cookies being made, or there might be cakes or something else, and you just go, wow, that smells so good. You know, that your senses, when you can utilize your senses, everything becomes more alive. Everything becomes far more alive. Now, just a couple of points of information. Concentration. Whew! With all the things that go on during the holiday season, what about concentration? You got to be kidding. I'm pooped. That's typically what people will say. I just feel like I'm going in 10,000 different directions. And when it comes to putting together recipes like the Martha Stewart gingerbread recipe that I shared with you earlier in the week, well, that had a lot of extra steps to it, but it really is not a complicated recipe, but there are extra steps. If you're a busy person, you're going, gee, do I really want to do that? No, I think I'll just go to the bakery. Well, why don't you try something? There was a study that was done. And, oh, don't you just love these studies? I do, because they come up with some of the most interesting stuff. Have a picture of an adorable puppy or kitten, a baby critter of some kind that you can look at. What this does, it triggers something in the brain, a nurturing instinct, they call it, that allows your concentration level to increase. Now, who would have thought that looking at an adorable baby picture of a dog, a cat, a human baby, it doesn't make any difference. There's just something about it that creates a shift in the thinking. And they did three separate studies of the power of kawaii, the Japanese word for cute. That's right. And it was done at the University of Hiroshima. And they said, when you have an image, and this might even be good for anybody that's going to college to help you focus and concentrate. When you have a picture of a real adorable animal, like I've got one in front of me of a kitten with a little Santa cap on, and these great big eyes, and the kitten is a golden orange. Oh, it's just so precious. It's just so cute. Well, when you have an image like that around you, instead of one of Darth Vader or the equivalent thereof, you're less likely to make mistakes. Now, that was according to three different studies. So if you want to sharpen your focus, if you want to be able to bring your attention into the present, why not go to the animals.nationalgeographic.com/animals/photos/baby animals. There is also another site, babyanimals.com, and instead of an S at the end of animals, you put a Z, babyanimals.com. How simple is that? Absolutely marvelous. And it creates a harmonic. You see, we are a phenomenal, phenomenal creation. We really, really are. We human beings have such an infinite capacity with our brains, with our thinking. But we have to remember, we have to look at what is going to bring the influence into our environment so that our thinking processes are going to be efficient. It's great. Oh, do we have Nia now?
Yes, it's me. How are you doing?
Nia, now, I'm so pleased you were able to get through. For those of you that are just tuning into the show, we have Nia Nell from South Africa, and I am just absolutely delighted to have you on the air with me today. And they're having some challenges with some technology at the studio, and I really am hoping we're going to be able to play some of your music, because I so
enjoyed. I am so sorry for keeping you waiting. I don't know what's the problem. I couldn't get through, and eventually I went online, so I'm looking at you and I'm listening to you online, and I eventually just tried this number online, and I got hold of you. I'm so glad.
Well, I am too, but again, the reason you couldn't get through and I was concerned is because they're having some challenges with the cable system. And that is the reason. So it wasn't because they weren't on duty. They've been on duty for hours. And, you know, technology,
no,
we take for granted so many things, Nianel. But just
think of it at this moment.
You're in South Africa. I'm here in Tacoma, Washington, like Seattle, Tacoma area. And the studio's in California. And here we are being able to talk as if you're seated right next to me in studio. And it's just a delight, absolutely a delight.
I'm glad that I finally get to speak to you. And thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's a pleasure. Now, Nia, now I want people to know, and I've been talking about you this week, you're an international multi-platinum recording artist. You're a songwriter. Obviously an author because of your book. You do speaking engagements, and you're often referred to as South Africa's version of Celine Dion. And your music has story in its lyrics, and you really, really have a passion for this. And I'm just absolutely delighted that you were able to get through. Now, I want to let you know we will be taking a break at the bottom of the hour, so don't stay with me. Let's talk about where you were born. You were born in the town of Omaruru in Namibia, Africa, and it's a little tiny, tiny village. In fact, you said it's so small you were the only baby in the hospital.
That's right. Today I joke and say that's probably why I can scream so loud.
Why do you think music chose you? Here you are, born in this little tiny, tiny place, in an environment where there's no big city influence. How do you feel music chose you?
You know, the reason why I say that is because I didn't really come with a personality to go with this huge voice that came, you know, it came with me. I mean, by the age of seven, eight years old, I already sounded like an adult when I sang. It was amazing. I mean, the neighbors used to pay me just to sing for them because it was quite different and it was very strange. But I was such an introvert, and I was a very quiet little girl, very shy. And I'm terrified of people for most of my life. And I believe that we come to this earth with gifts, or, you know, on the other hand, we sometimes come with the disabilities. But they are actually all gifts because they help us actually grow and develop. Now, this amazing gift of music actually helped me to develop my personality. You know, I've learned that, you can be an introvert, but you can actually develop your extrovert side. And yes, you can be a right-brain-minded person, but you can also develop your left brain. And through all of this development, you know, I finally polished my art, and I've managed to get my personality in tip-top shape to kind of go with this voice. But on top of everything, I still felt afraid. I mean, I went on stage now being completely ready, knowing...
Hello? Hello?
To most of the people. And the thing is, at the end of the day, I still felt afraid. And then I learned that I am not what I can do. I'm not even how I look and think and feel. And I started peeling off all these layers to finally get to the core of my being, which is the one thing that we all want on this planet, and that is unconditional love. You know, and when I discovered it within myself, I realized that nothing else can give it to me. I need to focus on this love within myself. And this is why I think music chose me, because it taught me so much. And now, finally, today, I can honestly share and thankfully share this music with people without any fear, without anything holding me back. And I'm just so thankful for this gift, and I'm glad that it chose me.
When I started off the show, I was talking about how we need to deal with criticism, and you had this dumped on you. Here you are, this child that has this huge voice, and every once in a while, I get a video of someone from some part of the world where there's this little tiny person, a little boy or a little girl, and they open their mouth, and you go, where did that voice come from? How can you possibly have developed in someone that small? But like you said, it's a gift. But when you were in school, you had music teachers that told you, forget it, kid, you're never going to make it in music. You got criticized, and you were told, don't, you know, you've got to stay in your place. And boy, can I relate to that. So you have these things that were put against you, but yet, as you were growing through them, as you said, you were discovering yourself. And also you made a comment which I think needs to be put out there so often. If you work hard for something, you appreciate it more. If something's just easy and you don't have to do anything, it's like you don't value it. And I think that that's very, very true. And I think you're a marvelous example of how you've overcome things. Now, you learned that you didn't like to sing, you know, learn new songs. You wanted to write them. How early did you start writing lyrics?
You know, my mother said even by the age of 3 years old, I never wanted to learn the nursery rhymes. I was quite stubborn. I always wanted to make up my own songs. And I couldn't believe it, you know, because, I mean, I thought, you're 3 years is quite young, but I see it actually with my own little girls now. They're not really interested in learning songs. My three little girls, they turned 5 years old in July, and they're such a blessing. And I see they don't learn new songs either. They like making up things. They'll be standing at my piano, looking out the window, and they'll be making up songs about the car. They just sing. And I was like this. I used to just everything that I see. And I can see, we don't only just see with the physical eye, you know, sometimes we see within. And I think that's the magic of songwriting. Is so often these messages come through, and I don't even possess this knowledge, you know, yet. And I will look at the lyrics and I'll go, oh my goodness, this is something I really need to apply in my life, or this is something I have to work on or need to learn. So this is why I know that, the lyrics don't often flow through me. Melodies, my mind is full of melodies. I don't have a problem there. I take my time with lyrics, though, and sometimes lyrics even come to me that I don't understand. It sounds like different languages. I kind of phonetically write it down. But there's such peace that comes with that. You know, sometimes I think a melody is so perfect that, that if we put words to it, we might just take away from the meaning, because everyone kind of feels and experiences music differently. So when they listen to this melody, you might be experiencing something completely different to me. And that's why I'm sometimes careful to actually put lyrics in, and I'll just use vocal sounds to kind of enhance the melody and leave the space for the listener to put in their own emotions and feelings.
Well, I wanted to share just a little bit of your lyrics. And one of the things that you found in your experience is that you couldn't take anything for granted. We all have to go through the lessons of not counting our chickens before they hatch. I think that saying has been around ever since somebody learned what chickens were and what
yes.
they did. And you know, really, that's true, because we often will have such high expectations. And I think of how when you did performances and you said you have to, just because you make a CD doesn't mean that it's going to sell. You have to be out there. You have to be in the public eye. You have to be visible. And so there were times that you might only have 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 people in an audience, and you would play to them just as if you had 10,000. And today you have those large audiences. You also realized that there were no shortcuts, and you laugh when anybody says, oh, you're an overnight success. And you say, yeah, it took me almost 20 years to get there. Geez, some overnight success. And I just think that you're so down to earth in your book, Knowing Who I Am. And, of course, your CD is in the book also. And you learned a very valuable lesson that you can't rush things. Isn't that irritating? I mean, it's just so darn irritating when we're ready to go and the universe says, I'm sorry, but you've got another 2 years before this is going to fit. And you go, oh, please, don't do this to me. Let me share some of your lyrics here.
Along the way, and even if you've got the world of patience, I think, you know, it's still challenging to sometimes just sit back and just let go and just be, you know, because I think the harder we try, I joke today and I say, you know, I know exactly what happens to control freaks. They end up having triplets, you know, because now I know that I've never been in control and I never will be. So I think just letting go. I write so many songs with this lyrics, just be, you know, letting go. For me, it's so important. It's something I forget almost immediately as life happens. You know, I forget to let go. And I think that is actually the most amazing thing in life. You know, I've got a song in the book on this. It's called Life's Gift to Me is Just to Be. And I can't sing that song enough to remind me every time that life's gift to me is just to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Some of your lyrics, and I'm just going to take a few segments out of it. The music piece that's titled As One, and one of the segments of the lyrics is, I've heard an angel's voice leaving me no choice. Say it loud and clear, everyone must hear. Break the chains of silence, break the bonds of hate. Everyone must sing, everyone must feel. Feel the music slowly taking control. Feel the rhythm breathing through your soul. You know the time has come for music to join us as one. And you go through that and you say, raise your voice in love, raise your voice in hope. Everyone must sing. Everyone must feel. Feel the music slowly taking control. Feel the rhythm breathing through your soul. You know the time has come for music to join us as one. And you have more to it. So I'm hoping we'll be able to play some of this. We're going to be taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. Stay with us. And I'm hoping we're going to be able to play some of Mia Nell's music. And then we're going to hear some more of her story about her stair-stepping over a period of time to success that she is enjoying at this time. Donna Sebo here with Nia Nell, her book, Knowing Who I Am. We'll be back to share more with you. Don't go away. Se la sentir.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. You just heard the full piece by Nia Nell. The CD is in the back of her book. She has 16 songs on there, and you can tell her voice is just spectacular, and her lyrics are awesome. Her book, Knowing Who I Am, shares her own personal story and her own personal journey. Nia Nell, I have to tell you, you automatically became a very special person to me because I found out that you had a Scottish Terrier named Jasper. And I've had Scottish Terriers for years, and they're very special little dogs. And I said, oh, this woman and I have something in common. Nia Nell, are you still there? Oh, my goodness. I hope we... There we are. I hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I said, yes, he used to follow me around everywhere. He looked after me so well. He was such a sweet little dog.
Well, I just love Scotties. And so I said, oh, my goodness, this lady and I have something in common. Now, in your book, you have a quote where you say, I am not my body, nor am I how I look or what I am capable of physically. I am not my mind, nor am I what I think, feel, or create. I am not what I can do or what I do. I am now free to be. That is wisdom that doesn't come when you're 7 years old. This is something that comes with living. And you became a mother of triplets. Here you are. You've got this phenomenal family. Your body has changed. Your career is going to be going through some adjustments. How did you handle all of this? Because having three babies all at once, that is huge.
Yes, that was very huge. I think the first 3 years were kind of like a blur. I can't really remember that. I think that happens to most of us in the first stages of having children. And it was such an amazing journey. And I think the last 2 years we can really enjoy them because they can actually sit up straight and feed themselves and, you know, and go to the toilet. And those are the most important things. But what a journey. What an incredible gift, not just as these three little babies in our lives, but also learning how to let go. And I think the most important thing for me is just to remain plugged into the main source, you know, and to remember who I am and to focus on that. I can only do my best when I am at my best, you know. So that is why I focus so much on giving myself what I need, loving myself, forgiving myself, not judging myself, being kind to myself, being gentle, accepting myself, you know. And when I can do that completely, I know it will flow over to the people around me. And without even having to say a word, this is how we should be inspiring people to be, you know, them. We need to be the miracle we want to see in this world. And I've just realized to be a great mother, I need to be a great me. And to be, whatever I do, I know that if I keep focusing on just being the best that I can be, being loving and kind towards myself, there will be enough energy to flow over to everything and everyone around me. So I always keep plugged into the main source, you know, where my energy comes from. I become quiet. I give myself laughter. I gave myself a gift. You know, when you turn 40, you give yourself gifts. And I've just said now, every year I'm going to give myself a gift. So I think focus on yourself. I mean, we're so used to focusing on everything and everyone around us and focusing on the stuff that we do not have that we forget what we do have, and we need to focus on the inside. Everything we need is already within ourselves, you know, and there's a lot of changes in life, and it's not going to stop. Life changes all the time, and I think what needs to stay constant is that love that you feel for yourself and have for yourself.
I agree with that, and I love the five words that you absolutely accept for yourself, and I think this is positive for anybody. I choose to be fabulous. When we say that, when we say, I choose to be fabulous, and just embrace it, wow, what a different feel that is. Can you imagine if someone is not feeling so hot and you just open up your arms and spread them out and just say, I choose to be fabulous, and you say it, all of a sudden there's going to be like a tingle that comes from the top of your toes all the way up through your body, and you're going to say, I choose to be fabulous, and when you really feel it, you realize that that's what you want to feel about yourself. And one of the things that you really dealt with, because having triplets, and this is something anyone who performs, anyone, anywhere, any woman in the world wants to look good. And if we're a performer and we're in front of people, we want to look the best we possibly can. And let's face it, you had triplets, and so your body went through a tremendous shift, and you're nursing your girls, and you've got all of this, plus doing your performing. And you had to start paying attention, like you said, to yourself, and you adopted some very simple steps, and that was getting exercise, but learning to eat more protein and leaving the starches alone and not buying what you didn't want in the house to eat. And you just really decided you were going to invest in your own wellness and not be so fixated on trying to be a size 2.
I don't think I even know what a size 2 is. I think, you know what? The more you treasure your body and love your body, I do this every single day. I bless my body. I thank from my toes to the tip of my head. I just say, thank you for this fabulous body. And, you know, I just decided I love this body, and I love that it came with me on this journey. And I believe that the more wonderful things I say about my body, it actually responds to it. You know, that our bodies actually consist of 73% of water. And they've done this experiment where they've taken two cups of water, and on the one they put love, on the other one they've put like hate, and for 30 days they just send love to the one with love and hate kind of to the one with the hate on it. And then after that period they froze in the water, and they looked under the crystals, you know, and under a microscope, and they saw that the water that received all this negativity, all this hate, actually was this gooey brown mush. And on the other side, they had the water that received the love, and it was this beautiful, like, snowflake crystals. You know, can you imagine if you continuously tell your body horrible things every single day? If you resonate in negativity all day long, you'll become sick, and you will, and your body will respond to that. So I choose to tell myself every day, I'm fabulous. I tell myself everything that I know my body will respond to positively. And that's a choice you make every single day. It takes practice, and eventually it's a habit. And before you know it, you are fabulous.
Nia, now, with anyone that might be listening, could be a young person, could be someone that's had a career in music, the industry has changed so much. You are in South Africa. Your world and your environment allows you to expand, and, of course, you're a multi-platinum winner. So here you've got this wonderful, wonderful record behind you. You do come into the United States every once in a while, don't you?
Yes, I'm actually going to go there in February. I'll be talking at the I Can Do It conference, you know, with Dr. Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay and Doreen Virtue. It's in New York, so I'll be going there this February 2013, and I'm really looking forward to it. You know, that's if the world don't end by the 21st of December this year.
So, I don't have time for that. We have to keep on going.
Absolutely. No, we've got a lot of stuff to experience and grow and feel here, so I'm really looking forward to next year. Excited about the shift that's going to happen. I'm very excited because I can see people waking up around me everywhere, and it's very exciting, and that is why I'm so passionate about this music that I'm sharing and this book. You know, it's a time for us to wake up and realize that we are love, and we need to start seeing it within ourselves and start seeing it in the people around us. And this is how we're going to change this world. This is how we're going to shift everything and basically create a paradise for ourselves, you know, because this is heaven. This is heaven. If you focus on the right stuff, this is heaven.
I agree with you. You have a delightful sense of humor, and in your book, you tell a story about an arrogant man who is talking to a lady at an airport counter. He says, "Excuse me, but do you know who I am?" And she then leans into the public address system and says, "Attention, please. Does anyone know this man? He doesn't seem to know who he is." I mean, you have so many subtle points of humor throughout your book. You're a loving mother. You've got a wonderful husband, beautiful family. You have a career that has allowed you to expand into associations with people like Dyer and Hayes and so many more. And you're just moving forward, and you're saying you're just allowing it to flow in its own natural way. You're not trying to force it. You're out there doing what you love to do best. Your music is marvelous, and as we close out, we're going to be playing another piece of your music. But before we go, give us the website where we can find out more about you, your schedule, the items that you have had published for your music, and the information on your book, Knowing Who I Am. What is that website, Nia Nell?
All right, my website is www.nianell, that is nianell.com, and that will direct you to anywhere where you can get hold of my book. It's also available on hayhouse.com, amazon.com, and barnesnobles.com. And people can also visit me at www.facebook.com/nianell. That's nianell. So my website again, www.nianell.com. And my book is called Knowing Who I Am. It comes with a 16-track CD of my most inspirational songs. And I just love life because I choose to love it every single day. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to you, and keep on shining.
Well, I am delighted that you were able to take time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And for all of the challenges that the studio has had with technology, I'm so delighted we were able to bring you on the show today. This is just marvelous. Thank you for your patience. You're just as beautiful in soul as you are in face and figure. You're just a wonderful, wonderful woman, and I'm so pleased that our paths have crossed, and I hope they will cross again in the future. For those of you listening, check out nianell.com. Her music, her voice will inspire you, and what a wonderful gift to give to someone who has a passion for music and wants to know how absolutely fabulous they can be. Check out the book, Knowing Who I Am. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break for just a moment. We're going to be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. I am so grateful we were able to finally have Mia Nell on. She is just such a wonderful, wonderful woman. And again, this would make a fabulous gift, a combo of the book and the CD, which come together as a package. And what I wanted to do was talk for a moment. By the way, phone lines are open, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a thought with you that had been presented to me. If you're out looking for a job, and you are, well, you're being asked the same questions over and over again when you're being interviewed. And do you know that there was a comment made to me that sometimes people that are doing the interview, they're so weary of people giving the same kind of answers. Now, every once in a while, you get somebody that's really out in left field that you know you're not going to want to hire because of some of the things that they say. But there is a study that was done, yes, another one of those, in the Journal of Personnel Psychology. And I first became acquainted with some of this information, oh my goodness, years ago. In fact, there are companies that actually will have you take tests to see if you, as a personality, will fit into a certain environment. And there are people that are trained in doing screenings of individuals for this very same thing. Well, they wanted to do this study to see how interviewers respond to individual. And sometimes a question in an interview is asked, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Well, my goodness, how many times do people even think about that? How many times have you thought about what would you like your life to be in 5 years? And so you need to be aware that sometimes these odd questions are tossed down at you because they want to know if your problem-solving capabilities are up to par. But two, they want to know if you've got a different perspective on life. And it's all part of the challenge. But they say when you give a memorable answer, it's very, very important. They want to know that if they're going to hire you, that you're conscientious, that you're multifaceted, as I mentioned, that you can solve problems, and that you're actually a person that is very much in your own uniqueness, that you're very much who you are. And I know when one is younger, it's not always easy to do that, but I think it's important for us to be able to respect ourselves and to be able, like Mia Nell said, become aware that you are who you are, and you're always going to be in the process of expanding and growing and developing yourself. I don't care whether you're 5, 10, 25, 75, 105. This is what life is all about. It is actually discovering the wonderful attributes that you've been endowed with. And I think that too many times we look at others and we think they have more than we've got. You might be surprised. They might be looking at you feeling the same way. Let's take our caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Linda, and I'm from Auburn, California.
Wonderful, Linda. I'm just thrilled you were able to get through. First thing that I'm looking at, Linda, when I'm focusing on you is the word discipline. I think you are having to reinvent yourself. I think you are in not quite at the positioning of being at a crossroad, but you're very close to it. And you're seeing this decision-making time about yourself and what you want to do with yourself, and you're saying, all right, I'm not quite there yet. What do I need to do to figure out where I want to go from this positioning that I'm in to where I think I want to be? And I would say you need to put yourself in some kind of a quiet environment where nobody's going to disturb you, and you need to really start dipping down inside the real you that you've sort of put into a cupboard within yourself. And you need to be able to open those cupboard doors and allow what you have hidden away come out. Let's say you had always had a love of the theater, and you've never done anything with that. Okay, then maybe volunteer at a local little theater or do something that brings you into that environment, or maybe take a class. But you really need to ask yourself, what is it that moves you the most? What is it that brings you joy? What is it that excites you, that it seems like an adventure to you? And it can be mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. It doesn't make what level that you're addressing this on. But this is just between you and God. You're able to do this. Nobody else needs to see it. It's just you. And all I'm asking you to do is be aware you're going to surprise yourself at the shift. You're going to surprise yourself at how maybe taking culinary classes and how to fix Asian food 5,000 different ways is really going to be fun for you, or something else. And you're going to say, this is the wildest thing I've ever done, but 2013 is a year of exploration for you. And I want you to be patient with the small beginnings of exploration and the fact you may say, oh, I can't stand this. I just cannot be bothered with certain things. All right, great. You know what you don't want. So put that on your little list. Then what you want to do is look at, what is it that's inspiring you? What is it that you, when you see it on television, it just makes your spirit soar? You hear something. What is it that makes you feel good? Because this crossroad, and it could be on a professional basis, but it's going to overlap into your personal life, obviously. And so as you're getting closer to that crossroad where you know you're going to have to make a decision, and it's going to be after the first of the year, if you'll take the time, and I'm looking at about February 18th to 26th, if you take the time now, December and January, if you work with that, then you're going to come out way ahead. You're going to come out way ahead. Hon, I know we're just about out of time. In fact, I know that we're out of time. Linda, would you call me back maybe tomorrow?
Yes.
So you could ask your question? That would be wonderful, dear. I'm out of time. I'm so sorry. But do give me a call back. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, the hour just went by like the wind. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And as Nionel said in South Africa this morning, I feel fabulous. I am fabulous. Carry that thought with you all day long. This is Donna. Talk with you mañana. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.